Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to all of you, our listeners. The company is called Trigon Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TM and on the OTC markets under the symbol PNTZF. We are chatting with the CEO, Jed Richardson. Now, Trigon Metals, interesting story where it is copper production and exploration at the Combat Mine in Namibia, as well as holding the Silver Hill Project, which is a highly prospective copper and silver exploration project in Morocco. Since this is the first time that we are introducing Trigon Metals, we're going to really stick to a high-level overview of the operations and the exploration potential at both of these projects, as well as cover some of the other company fundamentals. Jed, let's talk first about the Combat Mine and the production aspect of this mine. I know from our first conversations, the company is expecting to be cash flow positive in the very near term. Take us through some of the history behind this Combat Mine first and foremost, please.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, so Combat Mine is a mine that was actually built by Gold Fields in the 1960s. It was closed in 2007 after new management came in and made some mistakes. But the benefit of the Combat Mine is a huge amount of infrastructure, in excess of $100 million of usable infrastructure. We have three shafts, two ramps, a mill, and a town, really, that's all around the mine. So we got a really good head start. A lot of the capital that was needed was already spent. So we focused our energies and upgraded the resource and started open pit mining at the beginning of this year. We've now had a couple months of steady state production. We have shipped now three shipments of concentrate to the port of Walvis Bay in Namibia. And that concentrate is 20% copper. It's about 300 grams per ton silver, and it's good payable ore.
Well, Jed, it's interesting that you guys are in production. I don't think a lot of people realize that there is so much infrastructure in place and that you do have the ability to really expand the production. I know the company has a goal by 2024, so just 2 years away, to get it from 3,500 tons of copper concentrate up to 14,000 tons. So where will that growth come from, and how will the company proceed with that kind of a ramp-up plan?
So the mine historically has been an underground mine, but we are now operating it from its open pit. As we go over the next 2 years to reach that 14,000 tons, we get back underground, and that's the key thing there. So right now, from the open pit, we're mining about a 1% copper. We're running the mill at about 1,100 tons per day, and we're expanding that to 2,000 tons per day and going underground, which will take our head grade from 1% to 2.6% copper. With that, we'll be running more tons through, and it'll have more copper. And that's how we get to that 14,000 tons.
Are there any major capital costs that investors need to be aware of to make this move? First of all, with the mill expansion, and then also the underground mining?
Sure. The major expense is going to owner-operated mining. So right now in the open pit, we're using a contract miner. When we get underground, we'll have our own fleet, and that's actually most of the expense. It'll cost us about $25 million to get into to become an underground miner. Most of that is the rolling equipment, so shovels, scoop trams, jumbos, everything that we need for underground mining. Then there is a mill expansion, but when we refurbish the mill for the open pit, we replaced our primary crusher, we replaced our flotation cells, filter presses, and all of that is sized for the 2,000 tons per day. What we didn't replace was our grinding. So the grinding is our pinch point. So we'll have to expand that. Expanding grinding, our grinding capacity is going to be less than $5 million to do. So it's the actual mill update is not going to be the major expense. It's going to our own fleet.
Well, I guess we should also highlight that in addition to all the operational upside and the expansion of the mill, there's still a lot of exploration upside. I think you guys were recently drilling east of the number three shaft, and you've got 30 kilometers of strike length of mineralization. So could you speak to the exploration side and what still remains to be found?
That's a key part of the story for Trigon. Is we have a great infrastructure and a great start, but we believe we can build this into a much larger operation with what we can do exploration wise. So what you were touching on and what we can is what we can do at surface. We are currently mining very close to the mill in what we call our central pit between shaft one and shaft three. But we're exploring east of that. We're actually exploring just to the south of that as well now. And we're already finding more ore that we can use to add to those open pit tons. But really, the greatest potential for growth is what can come from the underground. When this mine was purchased from Gold Fields back in 2004, I believe, immediately the new owners did a big expansion and sank a third operating shaft. We call it the Assas Far West shaft. This is a 750 meter, 2000 ton hoisting capacity shaft on a entirely new area of mineralization. This ended up bankrupting the company and ended up closing the mine, but we now have that infrastructure to build off of. So we're going to be dewaterating that shaft, do the exploration and drill out the resources in that area. And we believe that has the potential to double our capacity again. The preliminary drilling that happened in that area suggested that it was even higher grade than the main underground. So the main underground at 2.6%, the Assas Far West area, we're expecting to be at over 3% copper.
So how many meters are being drilled, and do you envision an updated resource being announced, say, next year? I realize last year was the updated resource just from August, so it's still pretty fresh, but how will that process play out?
Yes, so we're drilling about 10,000 meters at surface right now. We will be updating the resource come year end. And we'll be doing that regularly, updating the resource. I think in the same way we'll report production and financial numbers, we'll report our exploration growth as well. So yeah, you'll see that regularly. And then when we get underground, the same thing will happen there. Well, we be regularly expanding the resource from underground once we get into 2023.
Well, Jed, can you just walk everybody through what the size of the resource is?
So we break it into open pit and underground. So the open pit resources are 5 million tons at 1% copper and at 6.23 grams per ton silver. From underground, we have in indicated resources 6.93 million tons at 2.66% copper and 19.3 grams per ton silver in indicated, and another 1.3 million tons at 2.8% copper, 8.8 grams per ton silver in inferred. So that is all within the main mining areas. So the Assas West area and the open pit is between shaft one and shaft three. All that we've talked about is in addition to that. So the Assas East, which is or the East 900 area, that's where we're drilling right now and we're starting to see results from. That's in addition to those tons that we talked about for the open pit. And then the Assas Far West area, that is all above and beyond what I mentioned for the underground.
Okay, Jed, thank you for that update. Let's move on to the other project that the company holds, the Silver Hill property in Morocco. This is also a copper, but also, I believe, silver project. Give us a little background on the Silver Hill project, please.
So Silver Hill, it's named that because that's what they were mining there historically. And historically, I mean, like over 600 years ago. But it is definitely a copper project. It's about 60-65% copper by value, with a balance in silver and then some interesting hits of cobalt. We did some drilling towards the end of 2020 and through early 2021. We were consistently getting over 1% copper over 7 to 15 meter intercepts. We were getting silver grades ranging from 20 grams a ton up to 120 grams per ton, which got us quite interested. We also did a trench on that property that came out at 2.7% copper over 13 meters with 34 and a half grams per ton silver and 0.082 kilograms of cobalt. But what's really interesting about the property now is over the last year, we've had some time to do some remote sensing work, and it's shown that the mineralization coincides with a IP anomaly, a chargeability anomaly that extends over 4 kilometers and is 1.5 kilometers wide. So we are going to be getting back to drilling that property come July of this year. So just more than a month away from now. And we're excited that this could turn out to be a pretty sizable discovery. And we should be able to prove that pretty quickly with the drilling.
Well, Jed, yeah, I saw that about the IP anomaly being larger than anticipated. So that's always a good thing. And you got some of the drilling you've done the last 2 years as a base case to kind of go off of. But you said you're going to start drilling hopefully in July. Do you have an idea of how big that drill program will be? How many meters? How many holes?
Right now, we just have, it's a 2,000 meter program. And that's to test some of the strongest parts of the anomaly on that structure. And then based on success, we'll upsize the program after that.
All right, Jed, let's move on to the team then. Little background on yourself, since it is your first time on the show. Give us some of your history in the resource sector.
So I'm a mining engineer by training, born and raised in Toronto, but I've spent most of my career working in Africa and Brazil. I spent a good chunk of my career as a research analyst with Sprott Securities and RBC Capital Markets. Then I've worked with a company called Verde Potash or Verde Agritech in Brazil, and then worked in Africa on a list of different projects. I got involved in Trigon as CEO in March 2019, and really have been working on building the company, preparing it for production, and building what I believe will be a mid-tier copper producer.
Well, Jed, is there anybody else on your board of directors or on your management team that you'd like to highlight that brings experience to the table for moving these projects forward?
Sure. Of note on our board of directors, we have Larissa Sprott. Larissa is the daughter of Eric Sprott, and she was really instrumental in helping turn the company around. She got involved and we started transitioning the board and transitioning the position of the company and building out the team that we have now. But probably the most important person on the team is our VP operations. And that's Fanny Mueller. He's a naturalized Namibian, South African trained mine engineer, ex-Anglo-American. He lives full time in Namibia and really put the team together on site and put the asset back into production.
All right, some other company fundamentals. Let's talk share structure. I'm seeing right around just under 170 million shares outstanding on a fully diluted basis, about 213 million. Can you give us a little insights in terms of what management holds and any other large shareholders, the allocation there, please?
Our largest shareholder would be Eric Sprott. He holds just under 20%, has been very supportive. And you'll see he provided a working capital facility that we just announced. Management directors, so this includes myself, the board of directors, and then really the Moroccan partners, because we acquired the Silver Hill project. We're at about 10-12%. So yeah, we have a good holding. Institutionally, we do have some funds out of Europe that are holding. We've got some notable names: US Global, Extract Capital, Palos, that are all holders in between Canada and the US. But we're largely held by some strong retail holders in Canada and the US.
And Jed, could you also just quickly walk through the financials of the company? You know, what kind of cash do you have in the treasury? What kind of debt? And then as far as the CapEx needed for some of that expansion, would that be coming from debt? Would that be coming from shares? Would it be coming from streaming? What's the outlook there?
So we are right now, we have about $4 million. This is Canadian dollars on the balance sheet right now. We're at a stage right now where we are forecasting being cash flow positive in the very near future. I think we can actually hit that cash flow positive milestone before we get out of June, and then we'll be in a phase where we're cash building. As far as debt, we have just about $7.5 million in debt on the balance sheet. For growth, though, we are looking to a silver streaming deal. As far as the combat mine goes, it does produce a fair amount of silver. By the time we get up to our full run rate, once we're underground, we should be producing close to 200,000 ounces of silver annually. We're well advanced in the process of selling a silver stream, and that should be all the capital that we need for developing the underground.
All right, Jed, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for this company introduction. I will post a link to the Trigon Metals website so you all can read over the recent news and the corporate presentation. If any of you have follow-up questions regarding the exploration or the operations out of Trigon Metals, please email us, either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We will get Jed to address those, and we will follow along as more news hits the market. Jed, thank you very much for your time. Please keep us up to date on future news.
All right. Thanks, Corey.